Well, we're now going to turn things over to Christine James, who's in studio with Rahsaan Hall. Christine.
Well, that's right, Dan. Thank you very much. I am here in studio with Rahsaan Hall. We just heard you moments ago at the top of the hour, keynote speaker last night in Milton, and we're here to welcome you again today and talk a little bit about what's coming up with a speaking engagement that is coming up this Saturday. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Christine. It's good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you. You know, it's the day after the day that we celebrate the memory of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and you were going to be speaking to commemorate that memory and talk a little bit about the things that matter then and now, and that's going to be this coming Saturday at Lombardo's. When you give a keynote speech, how do you decide what your message is going to be?
Well, I usually begin with whatever the host organization has as a theme. Mm-hmm. And so last night, for instance, in Milton, the theme was a time when silence becomes betrayal. And that was lifted from a speech that Martin Luther King gave in 1967 at Riverside Church in New York, entitled Beyond Vietnam, where he was publicly coming out, critiquing the war in Vietnam, talking about how his silence was betrayal to his core principles and beliefs of who he was. And so I took from that and tried to provide some historical context of what he was talking about in the speech, but then tie it to contemporary issues that we're experiencing today. And that's usually what I do whenever I give a speech, especially on Dr. King's holiday.
And now the event on Saturday, that's sponsored by the Brockton Area NAACP?
Yes.
Now, when you said about silence, would that be one of my favorite quotes from him is, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. Is that where that quote came from?
It didn't come from that speech. Again, he was talking more about his own silence in regards to the war in Vietnam, talking about how the war in Vietnam was drawing resources away from the poverty movement that he was seeing make some significant strides, and how it was inconsistent with him being a Nobel Peace winner, or even inconsistent with his calling as a minister of Jesus Christ. How could he, as a follower of the Prince of Peace, be someone that doesn't speak out against war?
You know, his message to me seems so basic: be kind, be decent, be fair to all people. And that message resonates just as clearly today as it did then. Why do we as a people, as a nation and a world, have so many problems following that advice?
Yeah, I think there is something to be said about self-interest and a scarcity mindset. And when people feel like there are only a finite amount of resources that are available to them, that they become very protective or defensive of those things. And when people with limited resources are pitted against one another, it's easy to take out your anger or frustration or anxiety on another group, especially when there are people with resources that manipulate those fears or anxieties. And I think to that point, Dr. King's message extended beyond some of the basic notions of kindness and love of humanity amongst one another, because he was very intentional about addressing the very acute racism in America and the conditions of black people in America, and tying together that racism with extreme materialism and militarism, and seeing those as the triplicate evils in America that really needed to be addressed. And that's, I think, another piece of his message. And when you think about people with limited resources going at one another or being unkind to one another, you see those triplets and understand how we can continue to be unkind to one another in society.
And, you know, I don't think there's probably anybody over the age of probably 8 in this country that hasn't heard the I Have a Dream speech, which still every time, no matter how many times you hear it, it does give people goosebumps. He's a tremendous speaker. You could hear the emotion and the intention behind it. But he was a lot more than that speech.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit more about the fullness of his life.
Right. I mean, being a preacher from Atlanta, the South, but being very well educated, being a very bright young man, went to Morehouse College at a very early age, and then went to Crozier Theological Seminary in Pennsylvania, and then coming to Boston, where he met his wife while he was at BU School of Theology. So very well educated, but also coming from a middle class background, also had a very keen understanding of the experience and oppression of black people in America, particularly in the South, but also later in his career, he also began to understand the depravity and racism that existed in northern cities as he began to try to expand the movement. But yes, many people understand or know the I Have a Dream speech, but there were so many other things that he talked about, like I mentioned, the triplets of racism, militarism, and extreme materialism, or when he said that he could not in good conscience condemn riots without at the same time condemning the contingent, intolerable conditions that existed in communities that made people feel like they had no other option but to engage in rebellious behavior to get attention. I think those are some of the things that he does not get noticed or credit for. Or his letter from a Birmingham jail where he talked about the silence of white people, white clergy in particular, who could preach the gospel on one Sunday and talk about the peace and love and how Jesus was there on the side of the oppressed, but then turn a blind eye and not say a mumbling word about the very oppression that was happening in their own communities.
And when you were growing up, and you're not only an attorney, but you're also an ordained minister, how much influence did he have in you, for you, to decide to follow that route also? Was he a big influence in your life and his ideas?
He was an influence in my life as a leader in the civil rights movement and someone who was willing to speak truth to power and hold the America accountable to the promises that are enshrined within its founding documents. But my calling to become an ordained reverend wasn't necessarily inspired by Dr. King, but I do think as a civil rights leader who also is an ordained reverend, I draw a lot of inspiration from him in this role and in the work that I do.
Now, you know, it's interesting because you, in your roles as a even a prosecutor and a reverend, as you said, so you get to see the best and the worst of humanity. How does each part of what you do, how does that affect each other? Does it give you a different kind of perspective or appreciation for that?
Absolutely. I think being an ordained reverend, serving in ministry, dealing with people who at any given moment are at some of the worst moments in their life and are seeking counsel and support and spiritual guidance. And similarly, as when I was an assistant district attorney in Suffolk County, witnessing the harm and the pain that people who had lost a loved one to violence were going through and trying to help them navigate this cold and sterile system really gave me an appreciation for the gravity and significance of the level of harm that happens. But also it helped me realize that people who do bad things have usually had bad things happen to them. An overwhelming majority of people who have caused harm have been harmed themselves. And I think that's part of what informed my run for Plymouth County District Attorney was those experiences, talking to people who had been on the side of being a victim, but also being incarcerated as well.
What do you think today when you think about Dr. Martin Luther King, and you're going to, again, as we said, you're going to be the keynote speaker this coming Saturday, Lombardo's, the guest of the Brockton NAACP. And what do you think is the most important message to remember about him, about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and maybe think about him all year long, not just on the holiday?
I think it's important for people to take away that the dream was more than an altruistic post-racial utopia, but rather a vision of a world that could only come into existence when the true principles enshrined in the founding documents of this nation are actually realized by all of this nation's citizens and residents, and in King's instance, particularly black people. And so my hope is the theme is believe and achieve, that people come away feeling a renewed belief in themselves, a renewed belief in their community, and a commitment to achieve despite the obstacles that they face, but also a commitment to achieving by going through some of those obstacles, by speaking truth to power and calling out some of the injustices that stand as barriers to people's social progress.
Do you think we've made any real civil rights progress, like, say, in the last 30 years? Do you, I mean, you've lived it, you see it. Do you think we've made progress? Don't you think most people would like to think we had, or do you think that's not true?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some signs of progress, but in some of the speeches that I've given recently, 55 years later, incarceration rates for black people are higher now than they were in 68. Home ownership rates for black people are lower now than they were in the 60s. Income growth has, for black people, has trailed white people by nearly 7%. So when you look at those types of statistics, it's hard to say that we've made all of the strides that are necessarily certain, that are necessary. Certainly there have been improvements. Legalized segregation is no longer an issue. Voting rights has been granted, even though there are efforts to diffuse that. Fair housing laws exist, even though there's racialized segregation in housing. There are laws on the books that can protect people, but we've really got to look at how structural racism is embedded in society and continues to perpetuate some of these disparities that exist. So, yes, there's been strides, but we've not come nearly close enough to where we need to be.
And is there anything you'd like to say as a last comment to our listeners, something I maybe didn't get to the chance to ask you, something that you think is important that people need to hear?
Yeah, I think it's important to really, as we celebrate the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. King, that we fully embrace who he was and what his message was beyond the I Have a Dream speech, and how he was speaking truth to power and holding this nation to account to address the grave injustices of racism, militarism, and extreme materialism.
And that's Rahsaan Hall. He's going to be the keynote speaker this coming Saturday at a breakfast sponsored by the Brockton NAACP. It's at Lombardo's in Randolph. I believe there are still tickets available, and you can Google it to get information. We're going to put this interview up online too. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Christine James, sending it back to Dan McCready right here at 95.9 WATD.